For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel right there. Dear believer, if all you do in life is tell others that verse in evangelism, spread the importance, emphasize the significance of that verse, you're witnessing for the Lord. You're telling them a verse, spreading the gospel. Explain very simply. Very simply. And how do we avoid trouble? We believe in Christ, the one who was sent so that we would have everlasting life. He is the great hope.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You've been listening to O4A Closer Walk with God, produced by the Free Presbyterian Church. We thank you for tuning in to our program today. We're delighted that you're here, I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. If you've been enjoying our programs, if they have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, do drop us an email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. You can contact us via the website ltbs.ca. Martin Luther was the German reformer that, through the grace of God, was largely responsible for the commencement of what we know as the Protestant Reformation in the early 1500s. He was a man who loved the Word of God, and one of his favourite psalms that provided the foundation or the basis for his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, was Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. We're going to go today to our pulpit to consider the first part of the message. God is our refuge. The Word of God says, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Selah, and that word meaning pause, meditate, think. Something important has been said. We're not to rush on, as it were. We're to pause and think upon what has been said. Amen. Throughout the history of the Christian church, and moving into the Old Testament period as well, the 46th Psalm has been a source, a constant source of consolation and encouragement for the redeemed people of God in their trials and in their struggles and in their difficulties. During the years of the Protestant Reformation, it was Martin Luther, the German reformer, who turned continuously to the Psalms for comfort and strength in times of difficulty. And I would hope and believe that we ourselves as a congregation have received comfort from the Psalms as we have turned to them each Wednesday evening, because the Psalms comfort us. And the Psalms encourage us. They point us to the Lord. They point us to His care and His love and His compassion and His help for His own redeemed people. And as Martin Luther the Reformer preached the gospel of Christ and took that stand for the gospel, he was met with trouble, much trouble indeed. And he turned specifically to this psalm, the Psalm 46, on many occasions. He did become downcast. He did become discouraged as the enemy battered him and urged him to recant and to turn aside from the gospel of Christ. And in times like these, it was said that he turned to his friend Melanchthon and he said, come Philip. Let us sing the 46th psalm and let them do their worst. And they sang that version that was penned by Luther himself. A mighty fortress is our God.
a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work his woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel heat, on earth is not his equal. He went on to say, and though the world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. It has been referred to as the battle hymn of the Reformation. A number of theories have arisen regarding its origin. Some say Luther penned it in 1527 as he faced one of the greatest difficulties in his life and ministry, as the Black Plague spread across Europe, as he faced trials regarding the health of his son. Others say it was penned around the time of the execution of one of his colleagues. Whatever the reason, it is clear that this psalm upon which that great hymn is based was a great encouragement to Luther in his work for the Master. This psalm, certainly the opening verses, does not necessarily deal with the conquering of foes and the triumph of man, the Lord's people, over them, but rather it contains for us the language of faith in the time of trial. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There is a reminder of the Lord's help, of the Lord's grace, of the Lord being our refuge, not us conquering the enemy, not us, as it were, taking the war to them, but more of a defense. The Lord is our defense. It is a psalm that brings comfort. We see the marvelous working of God being praised as he protects and preserves his flock of believers. There are divisions within this psalm, three parts, verse 3, verse 7, and the end, verse 11. And as I said, this term Selah that closes those sections means to pause, to think upon, and meditate. Dear believer, let us do that tonight. As we think upon this psalm and these first three verses, may by the enablement of God, we pause, we think, we meditate strongly upon what he has for us. This psalm encouraged many old saints of God, no doubt. It has encouraged you, no doubt. It has blessed you, no doubt. You've received that strength as you've read these verses that point you to the Lord and to his care, his tender love toward you. And so tonight I want to take as the overarching title of this message, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. That is the thought that is in the very opening words of this psalm. God is our refuge. And that is the point we want to get across tonight. Dear believer, God is your refuge. If you're in your sins, God is your refuge. There is no refuge in this world for those who are in their sins apart from the Lord. God is our refuge. And I want you to see, first of all, that we have our personal experience of trouble. Our personal experience of trouble. The Lord says here, through the words of the psalmist, a very present help in trouble. Consider that little word, trouble. Trouble. When we think of trouble, we think of distresses. We think of trials that come upon us. We can think of those struggles in life, those things we cannot avoid, and they come crashing down like the waves of the sea upon us. Back in Northern Ireland, and we think of troubles. And we think of the Protestant and the Catholic and the Unionist and the Republican being against each other for many years and decades, still continuing to a lesser violent extent. And that period of shooting and bombings and that period of division is referred to as Troubles with a capital T. Troubles. When we think of the apostles, they enjoyed great things from Christ, great blessings from the Lord, but they experienced trouble. And we are not immune, dear believer, to trouble within our lives. The reformers who stood for the Lord, as we've already said, endured great trouble. Job tells us in Job 5 verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble. And that refers to all mankind. It's not referring just to men. We could certainly have those here who would say, yes, that verse is right. Man is born to trouble. But it's referring to all of us. Mankind is born unto trouble. And there is no doubt there is trouble in this world. There is trouble caused by wickedness. There is trouble caused by sorrow and weariness and toil. And here in Psalm 46 verse 1, this word trouble indicates affliction, adversity, distress, anguish, and tribulation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 22 to 23, we read, for what hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There's that sentence, all his days are sorrow. And how true that is. We have our joy, we have our happy times, but every day do we not face some sort of sorrow? Does this world not face some sort of sorrow? Dear believer, we can look at what the psalmist is saying here. Our personal experience of trouble. And we face it day by day. Some will say, if you trust Christ, all will be well. Some promote what we call the prosperity gospel. If you trust Christ, all will be well. I mentioned upgrading that Hot Wheels car this morning, taking out $1 million loan. Some will say, if you trust Christ, well, you'll get that upgrade. You don't have to worry about the loan. We'll be blessed. We'll have everything we want. But yet that is not true. God may bless us. God may not. There are saints who have been blessed with great things from God. We can think of Abraham, for example. But yet there are many who constantly face the troubles of life. And Abraham had his trials, and he had his struggles as well. We can think of Job, who was godly and faithful, but he faced sorrows and troubles. But the lesson for us in the life of Job is very simple. In all his trials and troubles, he never took his eye off the Lord. He kept his eye upon him. How marvelous that is. And the great source of trouble within our life, what is it? Well, there are many causes of trouble. Ultimately, it is sin. Sin causes trouble. Sin that has come into this world through Adam. Sin leads us into trouble. The fall of man is the epicenter of all the trouble that this world has experienced. Our trespasses, our sins, as a result of that fall, they cause trouble. And you must have no doubts about this. Dear believer, dear unsaved person, sin, rebelling against God, taking his word, setting it aside, not obeying his commandments, living according to your rules and your ideas, and setting aside the God of heaven is sin. And it leads to trouble. Yes, it may lead to pleasures that last, but for a season, as the word of God says. But it leads to trouble. The same way, if you break the law of the land, there is trouble. The familiar illustration of speeding. If you decide that the 50 kilometer an hour speed limit on this street is too slow, and there are some who believe that, and they act according to that. They believe it's too slow. A tortoise can walk faster. And your car can do 150. And you decide that's what you're going to do. There's going to be trouble. Trouble with the police. Trouble when someone steps across the road to walk and you're going too fast. There will be trouble. If you break the law, there is trouble. If you break the law of God, there is trouble in life. And there is trouble in death. Sin destroys. And the catechism reminds us of that. The question is asked, into what estate did the fall bring mankind? The fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. It brings trouble. All mankind by the fall lost communion with God, are under his wrath and curse, and so made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. The Catechism bases that answer upon what God's word teaches us. And it does not say all mankind by their fall can do whatever they like, can enjoy everything, can have happiness forever. No. There is trouble. Trouble in life. Trouble in death, trouble in eternity. Is sin causing trouble within your life? Sin will cause trouble, trouble in death, for the wages of sin is death. It will cause trouble in eternity. For how shall we escape, the word of God says, if we neglect so great salvation? If our salvation, the salvation of Christ, offered in the gospel, does not deal with our sin, then how can we escape? We cannot. There is trouble. There is trouble. When we think of that trouble caused by sin, God is the answer to that, for he sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we believe on him and we have life everlasting. John 3, verse 16, that great gospel text, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the message we brought at the Kerr home this afternoon. And as I thought upon what to preach on, I thought of 23 years ago, preaching for the very first time. I was kind of conscripted into it. Our youth fellowship were taking a service at a Kerr home. And I often thought of that when we were planning for the service today. And I remember it being planned for the summer months. And we were told that we would all be taking part. We would sing. We would testify. We would read the word of God. And we would preach. And there's only two of us in the youth fellowship at that time. I was a little younger. There was another man. He was getting married. And so I tapped him on the shoulder, him being the oldest. I guess you're preaching then. And he turned around to me and said, I'm on honeymoon. And I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to be preaching. Turned out that I was conscripted into preaching. And I brought a word. And it was John 3, verse 16. Very first time I preached. And it wasn't that good. You might love to hear that sermon. It was never recorded, thankfully. I'm not too sure where I have the notes for that sermon. And it's not something I wish to preach again. Looking back all those many years ago. But there was a good message there, in the sense of it was the message of God. A message that, as we said this morning, and as we said this afternoon, that verse, John 3, verse 16, explains the gospel simply. Explains it in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel right there. Dear believer, if all you do in life is tell others that verse in evangelism, spread the importance, emphasize the significance of that verse, you're witnessing for the Lord. You're telling them a verse, spreading the gospel. Explain very simply. Very simply. And how do we avoid trouble? We believe in Christ, the one who was sent so that we would have everlasting life. He is the great hope. Is your life fixed upon him? Is your hope in him? The one who is the great answer to our trouble. Trouble can be caused as well by self. Sometimes we lead ourselves into trouble and anguish, not necessarily because of outward sin, but sometimes we fail to fully rest upon the Lord, to trust him. Satan can be the source of our trouble. Satan tempts us. We can think of Job. God permitted Job to face trouble. And for Satan to touch him. And Satan is, of course, that great source of trouble in this world. Back in Luther's time, who was causing the trouble? It was Satan. Who was causing the trouble for the early church and the apostles? It was Satan. Working and deceiving and blinding the eyes. The wiles of the devil. Praise God, he is a defeated foe. But he is a real foe. And he causes trouble. or stand, and our faith in Christ can cause us trouble and trials and problems. Standing against false religion on the principles of Scripture causes trouble and strife. Should that be avoided? No, because we have the responsibility of preaching Christ, and that will cause trouble. It caused trouble for the apostles. They were thrown into prison. They were killed because they would not turn from the gospel of Christ. Oh, we must take our stand, but there will be trouble. There will be trouble.
Spurgeon devotional today brings us to Psalm 62, verse 5. My expectation is from Him. It is the believer's privilege to use this language. If he is looking for aught from the world, it is a poor expectation indeed. But if he looks to God for the supply of his wants, whether in temporal or spiritual blessings, his expectation will not be a vain one. Constantly, he may draw from the bank of faith and get his needs supplied out of the riches of God's loving kindness. This I know, I had rather have God for my banker than all the Rothschilds. My Lord never fails to honour his promises, and when we bring them to his throne, he never sends them back unanswered. Therefore I will wait only at his door, for ever he opens it with the hand of munificent grace. At this hour I will try him anew. But we have expectations beyond this life. We shall die soon, and then our expectation is from Him. Do we not expect that when we lie upon the bed of sickness, He will send angels to carry us to His bosom? We believe that when the pulse is faint, and the heart heaves heavily, some angelic messenger shall stand and look with loving eyes upon us, and whisper, Sister, Spirit, come away. As we approach the heavenly gate, we expect to hear the welcome invitation. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. We are expecting harps of gold and crowns of glory. We are hoping to be amongst the multitude of shining ones before the throne. We are looking forward and longing for the time when we shall be like our glorious Lord, for we shall see him as he is. Then if these be thine expectations, O my soul, live for God, live with the desire, and resolve to glorify him from whom cometh all thy supplies, and of whose grace in thy election, redemption, and calling, it is that thou hast any expectation of coming glory. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join with us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's Word. Our weekday program continues on Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Have a blessed weekend, and may the Lord continue to bless the preaching of His Word to each one of us.